Well, we're continuing on in our series on the acts of God through His church, and really looking at how God reaches out to people, how He brings the church and grows the church through His people, us. And today it's looking at God Speaks, and we're going to start back just a couple of verses, a few verses back from where we ended last week, just to give it a little context of where we're going forward today. Acts Chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing and violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Amen. I want you guys to picture what's going on here. The people of God are gathered. They're on a hill. They hear this sound and they're drawn to it. And the sound is a sound of rushing mighty wind. And wind is a symbol of what? Of unseen power. Because we have a God who moves, and when he moves in strength and power. And so no matter what we're going through in our lives, no matter what's happening, we have a God who overcomes the world. We have a God who's already overcome. We have a God who's conquered sin and death. Not even death is greater than the love of Christ. Nothing is greater than God's love. John 3:8, I don't have this on the overhead, but I want you to hear this. John 3:8 says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I love that. The wind blows wherever it pleases. We don't get to control where God moves, how he moves, in what time he moves. He is moving, and he is moving powerfully. We've got it up there. Great. And as he moves as he pleases, we hear it's what? We hear the sound. We see the footprint of God. We see the shadows of God moving. We feel the wind of his direction. And it's a powerful blowing wind. But we don't know everything about God. Isn't it great that we can't fully define God? Amen. Isn't it great that God is so much greater than us, yes, that the more we get to know him, the more we realize we don't know, yes, that we're undone, yes, and we're humbled even more as we grow in our walk with him. When the church moves in the power of the Spirit, the church does amazing things because God does amazing things through us. Has God spoken to you? Has God spoken through his word? Has he worked through you this week? Has he given you a word from himself where he's asking for a response? Have you prayed and he answered the prayer and he says, you know what? I've got an answer for you, and you're part of that answer. Now step forward in that prayer. Step forward in my wind. Step forward in my power and move according to what I've done. Another symbol that's given here is the tongue of fire. The tongue of fire. Fire has two areas of focus in the Old Testament. One is that fire, what? It purifies. Guys, I want to ask you this. If we're being purified with the power of God, with the fire of God, is that going to be easy, pleasant at times? What happens when you purify metal? What are you doing? You're heating up the metal to such a degree that all the impurities do what? They rise up to the top and burn out. Man, it's a painful process sometimes, isn't it? Praise God, we get to suffer as Christ suffered for the eternal blessing of others and ourselves. Praise God that this world is not all there is. We have a hope that is greater than all the pain, all the suffering.
Not only does fire purify, fire represents a passion and an intense sense of purpose. This idea of it's burning and it's on fire and moving forward and with purpose and with direction. God is moving even today. And the third thing that happened there was we see that people are speaking, and other people who are from all different nations, all different backgrounds, are hearing them in their own tongue. So we'll get more to that in a few minutes, but when God moves, he does the impossible. He does what we can't imagine. So often, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed, God, I pray for this, and I'm praying, and God answers way beyond what I prayed for. And I'm undone each time thinking, God, my faith was so small. My faith was so small. I was hoping for this and because I thought it was an achievable goal. And so I was praying that you would achieve this small step. And you went on a journey instead. And you took me with you. Praise God for that. Starting in verse 5. Brings a little bit more depth to the story. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation. From where?
Every nation.
What a perfect, God's timing is so great. What a great thing that we're studying something like this on this weekend where we get to celebrate a man and a movement that God used a man to bring forward of bringing the nation, bringing all peoples, all nations together. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, they heard it. They heard the power of God moving. When God moves, people listen. People take notice. When they heard a sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Galileans weren't known for being the most educated people. Galileans were everyday people, just men and women that were getting the job done. Not multilingual. And here, as the Holy Spirit moves, as the power of God is moving upon people, his people, the Galileans start speaking. And as the people are speaking, as God's chosen are speaking, what's happening? I speak English. Now, I took 3 years of French and 3 years of German. I spoke a little bit of Lugandan for a little while. It left me very quickly when we left Uganda. I speak a little Italian from singing opera. I speak a little Greek. A little. Ask me how to have a conversation with somebody. I speak English. And here are these people, and they're speaking. But what's amazing is they're speaking in their native tongue. And others are hearing them in their tongue. Because that's miraculous. That can't happen. It's impossible. It's impossible that I speak in one language and you hear in another language. And that's exactly what's utterly, I love that, utterly amazed, they asked, aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Verse 8, then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and all parts of Libya and near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed. I love that. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another,
a good question. What does this mean? You see, when God moves, we don't know how to respond. And as Christians, we see it and we understand who's moving. People who don't know Jesus Christ, when they see the power of God, there's confusion because their spirit is dead. They are spiritually dead. And the things of God are like a foreign language. But here God crosses through language, doesn't he? And he speaks truth in. Thousands of devout Jews had gathered in Jerusalem from all over to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. They made the pilgrimage back home to Jerusalem. And it's interesting because Josephus, who was a Jewish historian of that time, he tells that, you know what, during this time, there was usually about 150,000 people in Jerusalem. But as people come back for the celebration, for the feast, for Passover, for what do they come back to? For Pentecost? What are they coming back to for this feast? Over a million people are in Jerusalem. So it just swells with people from all over. And every tribe, every nation, every tongue. And they were camped on the hillside, and something calls them down. Something calls them down, and it's God. Here's a bunch of unlearned Galileans speaking, and the people are hearing it in their own language. And they were amazed. Amazed. What is it? Amazed and perplexed. I like that. Amazed and perplexed. Wow. Amazed means literally pushed out of their senses. They're being pushed out of what they can understand. And perplexed is that they were stunned. Stunned. Undone. Have you ever been stunned by God? Have you ever been pushed out of your senses by the power of God? When it happens, it's amazing because you're so aware of God and so unaware of self. You're undone by this God who knows you and loves you and is involved in your life. And when you see him move, it's powerful. Amen. Amen.
You know, me and my son were looking for a place, right?
Angel, can you come up here and share? Because we do have a lot of people who listen online, and
my son and I, we were looking for a place, you know, and I just said, Lord, you know, I can't afford first month and last month. It's too much, you know. And I said, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to ask you this. I need you to bless us with a place that first month rent is free and all we put down is deposit. My son's scrolling, and he's scrolling. He said, Mom, it says first month rent free. I said, for real? And he said, Mom, but it's in Kent, Des Moines. I said, well, we have to take it because God, we asked. And he asked, and I'm so perplexed. How do you say it? I was just so amazed. I was like, first month rent free? And we moved in through the week. All we had to do was put down a little deposit. God is real. Amen. We asked and we believed. And we believe and we have faith. And he just scrolled and it said, first month rent free. God is so good. And now we're in our place. First month rent free.
Amen. Did you hear where it started? She started in prayer. She didn't have the answer of what to do, and so she went to the one who had the answer. And God speaks. God speaks today, and we get to hear his voice and respond when he speaks. Praise God. Thank you, angel. Praise God. They're perplexed. They're pushed out of their senses. They're stunned. When the Spirit moves, people are transformed. And I want to ask, what is God saying to you? We just heard what he said to Angel.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He said, step forward in faith and move here. Do this. I've got you.
Thank you.
What is he saying to you? Where are you at? What is your, not only your need, what is your heart's cry? What is your pleasure, your passion of life? What is it that brings you pleasure and joy? God wants to have you step in through that. Use your gifts in service and bless and be blessed as a result. What is God saying to you? Well, as what always happens, when God moves, some people respond. There's also something else that always happens, naysayers. When people don't understand something, they're either undone and asking, what is it? I'm willing to step, I'm willing to walk forward, I'm willing to find out more. And others will say, no, I can explain this. So what does it say? These other people there, they were naysayers. And they say right at the very end in verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. These guys are drunk. They're off their ear. Something's crazy happening here, and I can't explain it, so I'm going to do my best to make my understanding what I know to be real. You see, man consistently says, apart from the power and truth of Christ, that I can explain it. And you know what? I want to have things done my way. So I'm going to explain it what's most comfortable and best for me. And when people see the power of God, it's really uncomfortable if you don't know him. It's really... power is hard to understand and very, very hard to understand. So Peter sets the record straight, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. You know, Peter, it's pretty interesting because Peter, he speaks the truth, but he speaks it in love, and he speaks it in a way that the people can understand. When you speak the truth in love, you're going to speak in a way that's able to be heard. And so Peter then goes back and he quotes from Joel. And we'll see here in a moment what is he doing? He's speaking in a way that the people there can say, there's some meat on that bone. I can receive that. I can value that. Because he's quoting one of the prophets. He's speaking a truth from the Old Testament. Now, this is what is, verse 16. Now, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And here it is. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Guys, there's a couple things that really stand out to me. Peter quotes from Joel 2:28 through the first part of 32. But in Joel makes the term afterwards. And here Peter, when he restates it, he doesn't say afterwards. He restates it in the last days. So Joel was saying afterwards, and Peter saying in the last days.
Joel is saying after this vision where God comes to Israel, he will pour out his spirit on all people, Jews and Gentiles. Guys, this is a powerful thing. I also want to notice this. In the last days, God will pour out my spirit on all people. And now he starts breaking down the culture of the day. You see, the culture of the day was what? Men had all the authority and power. It wasn't just husbands are the head of their homes. Men are in charge of women. It was a culture that had gone astray. Not only that, what else do we divide over? Age. And so, you know, is it good to respect our elders? Absolutely. But those who are older are called to lead, not rule. And then it goes into other things, like what? Like men and women and being used by God. Old and young being used by God. And they'll prophesy and they'll dream dreams. As God pours out his spirit, as truth comes in, man's culture is challenged. Guys, hear that. We have a culture right now in our country. And our culture is changing. We're getting further and further away from God's truth as a nation. Not as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as a nation. We are getting away from the truth of God. We are taking the truth of God's word and prayer out of schools. We are teaching things that aren't true to our children. And they're losing hope. Do you guys know what happened when they started teaching Darwinian evolution in school? Does anybody know what? There's a graph. It's a famous graph. And suicide among children instantly starts shooting up through the roof. As we teach our young people, there's no purpose to life, that we're accidents. When we teach them that lie, hope leaves. But God's truth replaces the lie. And it brings light and life and transformation. We see here the explanation of what had happened that Peter's explaining, and a declaration about who Jesus is and what he's done. And now at the end, we see an application for those who hear and call on the name of the Lord. They will be saved. Guys, John 10:16 says, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. Let me ask this as we get ready to close. What is God saying to you through his word right now? What is he saying to you through his word? God speaks, doesn't he? God speaks to us through his word. We've just heard the truth of God. Maybe there's some things, I'll never forget. I was at Promise Keepers for Pastors. Years and years ago, this was probably 23 years ago, 22 years ago. I was at Promise Keepers for Pastors, and we were dealing with the same thing one of the things that we're talking about today, which is we're a nation divided. There's racism. We'll find, as people, we'll find so many different ways to separate ourselves from one another, to judge others. And guys,
when God moves, he brings people together. But one of the things that happened on that trip was I realized there was some things in my heart that I hadn't dealt with. Was I racist? No. Was I pure in that area? No. And all of a sudden we had a time where we were sharing and we started just going around and as we went around, I went around to different people and we gave people of all nations, all backgrounds, hugs, and I felt led to ask for forgiveness. Not because I was a racist person, but because my heart wasn't pure. And I had areas of judgment that I didn't even know I had. And as we were dealing with, is my heart pure before God? My answer had to be no. Guys, I want to encourage each one here. Bring yourself before God. How do we deal with being one in Christ? We have to hear the voice of God and then repent of our sin. And as we repent, guess what God does? He heals. He blesses. He encourages. He moves. He transforms. I love that I was broken that day. See, when God moves, something else happens. The exterior, the things that we show that we've got it all together, it's destroyed. We're humbled. And I was in tears before God asking for forgiveness. Because God had convicted me of my sin. Guys, where is it that you need to change? What is God saying to you specifically? What does he have for you? I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. Praise God. God reaches out to all. Praise God, we are all one, and the only color that matters is the color of the blood of Christ, which unites us all. It's a big deal. Unity is huge with God. And so it needs to be huge with us. It needs to mean something. It needs to be something that we are willing to stand for, stand in the gap for, be willing to stand and take some hits. I've been trying to get in shape here and eat better, going to the gym. When Thomas was and Isaac were back, Thomas took me to the gym, got me started back up. I've been doing better. And then yesterday I was in there and I've got these things on my fist. I was in our garage, and I was popping the bag and I was hitting it and I was trying to do a workout, and it'd been a long time. And so what happens when you're working out and you're not used to working out? You hurt yourself. It training takes some time. Guess what? You got to deal with some cuts on your knuckles before the calluses arrive. They start out as open wounds on day one. My hope and prayer is pretty soon there'll be calluses. That means I'm still doing it. I'm staying consistent to what I'm trying to accomplish. Guys, as God speaks to us, he doesn't speak to us once and then we move on and it's done. As he speaks, we continue to hear. And so the reason I share this is because I want us all to be thinking, how do I have a heart and a mindset to where I keep hearing from God? So it's not God speaks and I move and then I take 20 steps back. And now I'm all the way back here. Oh God, I need a word. God moves us back in the right direction. We start going in the right direction and then we're done for the day, and then we spend the next 6 months moving back even further. That's not the victorious power life of Christ. When God moves, he keeps moving. God doesn't stop speaking to us. But for us to hear, what do we need to do? We need to pray and be in the Word. We need to pray and be in the Word. He speaks to us from the truth of His Word. And guys, it's not enough to come on Sunday and listen to me. That's step one. It's not enough to do that and go to women's and men's Bible study. You need to be in the Scriptures yourselves. Hearing. Why are we in the Scriptures? You want to know God? That's how you know God. You want to hear from God? He speaks to us through His Word. And He is speaking. And He has a lot to say. And all of it's worth saying. All of it's worth hearing. So guys, let's be willing to listen. Let's be willing to not just get the wounds of starting things up. Let's have the calluses come with being obedient over a long period of time, of hearing and responding, of hearing and responding, of hearing and responding and repenting, and hearing and responding and repenting, and hearing and responding and repenting. But let's keep moving forward. And what happens when that happens? God will bring others, and He will use us to bring others to Himself. Has God led somebody to Christ through you recently? Has He used you to speak a word, to plant a seed in somebody's life recently? Is He speaking to you and asking you to move out in faith and be bold for Him in love? Let's respond to Him. Let's say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go where You've called me to go and to do what You've called me to do. Yes, I'll follow. And You're the leader. You're the one whose voice I recognize. And praise God, all of God's children, no matter what the backing, no matter what the background, no matter what the culture or the color or the this or that, we all hear the voice of our Father and we respond and we follow Him. He reaches out to all of us. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for all of us, Lord. We pray for unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We pray for Your truth to transform us from the inside out to where we don't judge according to what we see. Father, sometimes what we see is not real. Sometimes what we understand to be real is not right in truth. So, Father, let us not see with human eyes. Let us see with our spiritual understanding that comes through the truth of Your Word. Father, I just pray that You would continue to move in this church family. Lord, what a blessing we have to be living out the Word of God in such a way that we look like our community. And why? Because of who You are, Lord. I thank You that on the outside of our bulletins, it says, Community Bible Fellowship exists to glorify God through all cultures and ethnicities by exalting Jesus Christ. Not by focusing on what separates us, God, but by focusing on You, Jesus. So, Father, as we come together, we desire to be equipped for ministry. We desire to encourage one another with love and to evangelize our world. Father, show us how to do it. Show us how to reach out in love. And Lord, show us how to be one. How to be one in a world that is divided. We love You. We trust You. We're willing to listen and follow. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.